Most people come to Fest end up getting sick afterwards anyway,
Totally.
just from being in sweaty venues with like everybody's colds from all over the US. So we've all had, you know, the Fest flu is like we like to call it.
Tony Weinbender, thank you so much for coming to the Question and the Answers podcast. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me on. It's kind of an honor and a privilege to be able to hang out. And it's also fun to switch the gears a little bit and be able to just relax and talk about music with somebody like yourself. So thanks for having me on.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, anyone who does not know who this fine gentleman is, this is Tony Weinbender, who is the founder and main organizer of Fest. Which, if anyone doesn't know what Fest is, it's a three-day, well, at this point, three-day festival that happens in Gainesville, Florida, and has been going on 19 years now. Well, this will be the 19th year officially of having the Fest run. And you've been doing this, you know, since day one, man. And like, I gotta say, it's easily one of my favorite festivals to not only perform at with Tsunami Bomb. We had the privilege of playing there a few times, but also to just attend. And I thought it would be really cool to have you on the show and kind of talk a little bit about, you know, where Fest came from, where it's going, your role in it, you know, the things that you'd like to see doing with it, as well as some of the other things that you've been doing, you know, especially during this pandemic. I know that you've been very active with keeping that Fest community engaged. So yeah, it's a great to have you on here. Right out of the gate, the first question I really wanted to throw at you was, what is up with Fest? Like, when did you start it? Where did it come from? What was the impetus for it?
Well, Fest started, like you said, 19 years ago, but kind of technically almost 20 years ago now, because we had to take kind of a knee off. So for me, I've been doing 20 years. The actual entity of it hasn't only, this will be our 19th year of running the music festival and having it. Fest started because I used to book shows in the mid 90s. In Virginia. I grew up in Roanoke, Virginia, which is a really small town. We didn't have much of a punk scene. I actually grew up on the outskirts of Roanoke in Botetourt County. So there was zero punk scene. So in like, you know, 90, when we started going to high school, coming out of middle school, a couple of us had found skateboarding. MTV was starting to gear up a lot more like punk content. And through like skate videos and MTV and Thrasher magazine and stuff like that, we found out about punk and really fell in love with it. Me and a couple other guys, we were also in band class together, like playing like saxophone and stuff. So it was kind of like we had already had the music bug, but we're like, just like, you know, I was kind of into like pop radio, you know, throughout the 80s. And then in the 90s got really into Yo MTV Raps and hip hop. And then my buddy Chad, who was like in you know, with me, he was like really, he started playing guitar early and was really into like all the LA like hair metal stuff. And so like we were just kind of like, you know, as you know, when you start hanging out with buds, you know, you start like, hey, this is what I'm into, hey, this is what I'm into, you know. And it started out at our age group, we were like geeking out with each other about like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and G.I. Joe and like He-Man, and it went into like music. And so like, you know, punk, we really didn't have a lot of people influencing us, but, you know, we got into it. We started playing, we decided we're going to start a band. And we had this weird fucked up band called Swank in the 90s in Virginia. And then from that, you know, we wanted to, there wasn't that many bands in Roanoke to play with. You know, there was like a handful. There was like the band that sounded like Green Day and us, and then the Ebullition style hardcore band, and then the kind of like crossover thrash metal band, and then the weird like goofy Fraggle Rock looking kids who were like into They Might Be Giants. And then that was like it, you know, that was like, that was the scene pretty much. And so band, you know, Book Your Own Fucking Life came out, which Maximum Rock and Roll put out, which I know you're familiar with, but if you're kind of on the younger generation, it was like before the internet, you go to the record store, there was this magazine, and it was like a classified ads for every state, every city, and you put in there what you wanted to do as a band or what you want to do as like to help out bands, AKA a promoter, I guess. And so we just threw it in there. Like, hey, we're this band. You can stay at my mom's house and sleep on the floor. We don't do a guarantee. It's DIY. It's all ages. It's safe space. And so like bands would hit us up and come through on tour. And that's how we met bands like Hot Water Music, Less Than Jake, Voodoo Glow Skulls, Against All Authority. And then Richmond, we started getting big in Richmond. And so like we would go up there and support bands, and it just became this networking of bands that helped each other. Probably very similar to how, you know, you were in the West Coast with the early days of Tsunami Bomb. And so like I got to be, you know, went to college and started volunteering a lot with a volunteer radio station there called James Madison University, WXJM. And through that met more and more people that were into music and different sects of music. And so we had gone up to CMJ Music, the College Music Journal Conference. And that's more of like an industry conference in New York City. Mm-hmm. But being like 20 years old, maybe I was 21 at the time, I don't fucking remember. We went up there and we came back and we're like, man, they're really not representing the bands that we play on our station or the bands that we're bringing through, you know, for shows all the time. We would put on house shows, coffee shop shows, etc. And so we decided, well, fuck it. We're ambitious. We're youthful. We don't give a fuck. And we're just going to start our own conference. And we called it MACROC, the Mid-Atlantic College Radio Conference. Okay. I think it still goes on today. But that was kind of like what I was doing with that. And then I started in the summers touring with Less Than Jake. They needed extra help. They started going on Warped Tour. And at the time they had one roadie. And so they wanted to bring on some other folks. And so I was like, kind of like had toured a bunch, personal person. So they were like, come on. And plus I kind of would do like wacky, crazy, like Jackass shit. And so they're like, you'll get naked and wear an ET mask on stage. Come on. And so I was like, fuck yeah. And so I did that for 3 summers, went to Europe with them, went to Australia, New Zealand with them. And so over that time, Vinny from Less Than Jake and I became really good buds. And he was starting up Fueled by Ramen, but also at the same time touring a lot. And I think he wanted somebody to kind of be representing him with the label, with his partner, John Janik, and kind of like balance out Janik's business side of things with the punk ethics of things. And so he offered me a job. He said, you know, you want to come down and work in Gainesville, I'll pay you this much. And at the time, like, it seems like such pennies, but you know, in the year 2000, it seemed like this dream job. Hold on. I got benefits and I get to work at a record label without interning and I get a say. And there was like profit sharing, which I never got any. I don't think there was any profits those years. But I came down and worked, and you know, I, you know, did busted my ass for like a year and a half. I would just go up to the office, work all day, take a break, go down for dinner, meet some buds, have a couple drinks, and then come back up and work all night booking like tours for bands and stuff that were on the label, and just doing everything I could. I was just so much passion and heart into it. But then like over a year and a half of that, like John Janik and I just butted heads constantly about stuff. And I just got like kind of like a big head myself about like punk rock and the ethics behind it. And like, fuck this. And then they decided, we're going to sign this band Fall Out Boy. And I was like, that's it, I'm out. And yeah, so then like I had nothing. I didn't have a pot to piss in. And so I was still living in Gainesville, 25, and just like, what the fuck am I doing, man? Like, I just dropped out of college and I'm living in Gainesville and I can't even get a job because everybody has restaurant jobs and I have no restaurant experience. I've worked in like a mom pop video store for like 8 years. And then I worked in a independent record store the other times. So my resume sucks. And so I just like fucked around, moved furniture at a moving company one summer and smoked a bunch of pot and moved furniture. And then I got in at like a restaurant and started bussing tables, working my way up to waiting tables. And then kind of in that time period, I was like, well, what am I doing? I'm not playing in a band. Bands were still hitting me up to do shows for them. Like I did a lot of rad shows for bands, but that was not like, I've never been like a promoter to make money off of it. That was more like, still like I was when I was 16, to help bands out. Like if Sam I Am called, I'd be like, sure, I'll do a show for you and I'll go out and flyer and hang out. And I don't know, so I was like sitting there like drinking like a quart with like some buds, and they're like, man, you're really bummed out. And I was like, I don't know, should I move back to Virginia? They're like, you should just do MACROC down here, we need something like that. And I was like, I don't want to do like a conference, like a music conference of panel discussions. And they're like, no, just, use the venues, invite friends. And I was like, sure. So I invited a bunch of the bands that I met through Ramen and Ramen bands, a bunch of bands we knew in Virginia. And then there were like bands that would come through from California, like Tiltwheel. It's pretty much Toys of Kill and Tiltwheel, I think, just kind of where the Cali connection. There was some Minneapolis connection through Cadillac Blindside. So we got like Harmar Superstar that first year. And somehow we got Jonah's One Line Drawing. I don't remember how that happened. So it was like our big band.
Sam I Am, maybe.
Maybe, but at the time, like Sam I Am hadn't even played Fest. It took a long time for them to play Fest. But we just said, fuck it. We just did Fest. And it was like, we didn't have a, I don't even know if we had a website then. We just made like a 8.5 by 11 black and white flyer. And it was like, I think $20 or something to go. And it was 2 days, like 5 or 6 venues. And, you know, I didn't have any money. So I had to go to like Virginia and beg my mom and my dad separately, who'd been divorced since I was 6. And I was like, you know, I know you guys think this is like, I've totally fucked everything up. I dropped out of school. I did this thing. And, you know, this punk rock thing is not working out. But they both were like supportive, and they gave me, they loaned me $500 each. So I had like $1,000 in 2001 to fuck, or 2002 or whatever it was, to fuck with. And basically we were just promising bands the what we could without actually having the money. It was just empty promises.
Right.
But in the end we were able to pay everybody. I think I like ended up putting like $500 on a credit card, and I was like 500 down. And I was like so bummed. But then like the response to Fest was so positive, and everybody in town and out of town was so stoked that we just like, fuck it, let's just roll right into next year and do it. And it was still very, and still this day, it's very, you know, much me as the orchestrator of it all, and you know, kind of the planner. But I couldn't do it without all the support cast I have around me in town, and people that have used to live here that moved away and changed, and all the volunteers and stuff like that. Like, and we really do have like a crew of people that work on it, but like, I don't have an office. I don't have a production company. You know, I don't have like outside financial resources that help out. We just basically kept building and building and building and squirreling money away and squirreling money away till about Fest 10, where I was just like, look, man, I'm going to stop working at No Idea. I'm going to stop waiting tables, and I'm just going to do Fest. And since then, this is my full-time job. I do this, and then and also Gainesville's just fucking cheap to live in too, so it's kind of, and if you come from like punk too, it's like you can get by with like minimal stuff. I don't have a lot of flashy things. I think I spend more money on like vintage toys than I do anything else, you know, and records.
Right. That's, I mean, that's an awesome story, because yeah, like I think a lot of these festivals, you know, that are now very big, they kind of start in earnest, you know, like where it's like this very small, humble beginnings, and you know, they just say, you know what, we're just going to keep doing it, you know, and like until it completely fails, we're just going to keep this rolling. And I mean, I know that's worked out here in the West Coast. We have something called Noise Pop that happens here in the Bay Area, and that's been going on for decades now, and it started off very, very small, in only a couple of venues, but now, similarly to Fest, you know, it's just multi-venue type of festival. And, you know, you have partnerships with the venues, you have partnerships with the different promotions companies, and you get a lot of good local talent, and then you get a lot of national talent coming in. And it's nice, like hybrid. And, you know, having been at Fest, and, you know, for anyone that has never been to Fest, you know, you basically take over downtown Gainesville. And there's, I think, what, at this point, like 12 or 13 different venues that you guys occupy.
Yeah, I can't, I'd have to count them now. And especially this year, you know, we lost some venues and we've added some spaces. Basically, I try to use every space that I can tolerate the owners is what it boils down to. I mean, we use spaces during Fest that normally don't even do shows throughout the year. But, you know, I've gotten at a point now where it's like more places want to be a part of Fest because they know it's going to help their business than it is like that we need, which is a good problem to have. But yeah, it's a multiple venue, choose your own adventure. And the good thing about Gainesville is, versus some other larger cities, is Gainesville's small. You know, from one end of Fest to the other end of Fest, you might be walking, I don't know, 20 blocks, 13 blocks. You walked it more than me, so you could probably tell me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, within the scope of any given day, you know, you're probably clocking in a few miles, you know, worth of walking. But you know, you're like you said, you're going from one venue to the other, and like the, you know, one venue might only be literally a block away, and then there might be another space which is more like 6 blocks away, and then, you know, probably the furthest you're having to walk is really to your hotel, you know.
Yeah, that's true. If you're,
you know, far out. But yeah, you know, it is such a huge benefit to that local community, because, you know, so Gainesville is a college town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so you know, like, much like Berkeley, I mean, Berkeley might be a little bit different because Berkeley is so connected with like Oakland and San Francisco. But, you know, when college is not in session, you definitely see a huge like exodus of people.
Yeah.
And so I imagine that during, you know, summer term, you probably have like a downturn in businesses, you know, being able to like make money and whatnot. So having you guys be able to come in like in the fall, and then immediately have like this nice influx of cash, like that one weekend of the year, I'm sure is a huge benefit to the community and to the small businesses that are there.
Yeah, it is. And also, we strategically moved Fest. The first year we did it, I did it in May. Was it May? Yeah, I think so. Because I thought it would be cool to do it during spring break. In my head, I was like, all the college kids are leaving here for spring break, but then all the college people like myself that were into college radio and stuff might want to come here from like the Southeast or whatever. And that was kind of my mindset with it. It just didn't work. Mm. So what we did is we moved it to the fall, but we strategically do it it ends up falling around Halloween, which some people think that's why we do it that weekend. But the reason why we do it that weekend is because the University of Florida is a huge sports, you know, it's SEC, it's massive. This town runs on football and basketball, you know, and other sports too. But that weekend, the football team, the Gators, play the Bulldogs, Georgia. And it's such a big rivalry that they won't host it in either town. Mm. So they do it in Jacksonville.
I see.
So everybody that's into football either goes to Jacksonville or they stay home and have big parties at their house. So it's a good opportunity that the cultures really don't mix, even though it's kind of blurry nowadays. Like, you know, there might be somebody who's like all about the Gators, but also fucking loves Les and Jake, you know? So it's just, you know, basically everybody leaves, the town needs people to come in and needs commerce. And so we bring in a lot of visitors, and it just worked out really perfectly for almost 20 years now. So last year, definitely the town, not only with COVID, but just hurt without not having Fest too. So this year, every venue is like, you know, early on, we've had talks and everybody's like so into and excited about Fest coming back. You know, I've had talks with the mayor of Gainesville several times. He's super cool. He's played in bands too, so he knows what's going on. Like, and he comes from the, you know, late 80s, early 90s alternative punk scene as well. So he loves Fest. So he knows what's going on, and they're trying to change things and make things even cooler this year for attendees to come. So in the months to come, we'll be rolling out a lot of that info to attendees, like, hey, check it out, City of Gainesville closed this street, or hey, check it out, we don't have open container laws anymore, so you don't have to worry about that anymore. So you just walk the streets and drink and have fun and be merry and don't drop your bottle and break glass and be a dumbass.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's really encouraging to know that you've got like actually city officials that are really backing you and are behind this endeavor. And, you know, during, you know, COVID, obviously, you know, things have changed. I know that you guys lost a few of the venues or maybe they changed ownership or something. But I mean, that's a blow to the festival and to the town itself. But, you know, the fact that you guys were able to sell out, you know, Fest so early on, is a testament to like how much people really value this festival, and like they're really encouraged to come and like be supportive of what this endeavor is. And I mean, let's talk a little bit about this year's lineup. I mean, you've got Hot Water Music playing a couple of nights, you got Sam I Am coming, you have bands like the Appleseed Cast. I know you had Sparta, but they had to pull out. That was a band that I was really stoked on.
Me too. I was like, holy shit, we finally get Sparta. And then they were like, it's not gonna work. And
yeah, bummer.
You know, it's hard booking, you know, we book, you know, I probably booked most of these bands January, February of 2020.
Okay.
Then you have, you know, a pandemic that most of us thought, you know, oh, this is going to be 2, 3 months, 4 months. Oh, by summer, it'll be fine. You know, I remember telling people like, God, if we're still dealing with this next fall, we're all fucked. And here we are still dealing with it in a lot of areas. You know, it just, I think, you know, everything's turning around, but during that time we did lose some venues, you know, and the sadder thing is not only that we lost some as venues, but the fact that, you know, two of the spaces that we really loved, Dirty Nelly's, that has been with us since I think Fest One, the landlord just was not being cool about the rent. And so they just said, fuck you. And they just walked. And the Atlantic, you know, the owners are still super cool. It wasn't like they owned the building. It wasn't renting, but they kind of envisioned a different format for the Atlantic for a while. And this was a perfect time for them being shut down to be like, okay, let's remodel it and do something different with it. Granted, it's not going to be a show space anymore, but both those spaces we did shows, you know, for almost 20 years or more at, and we didn't get to have that last show, that final goodbye, that final send off. So that just kind of hurts the scene. And, you know, it's sad, you know, that we didn't get that as a community. But out of the ashes of that, for those of you who've been to Fest, Dirty Nelly's was next door to Flaco's, which is a really famous, popular Cuban eatery. And they took over the lease for the building next door, remodeled it. It looks beautiful. It's called Vecinos now. It's cleaned up. It's super cool, but it's still, they didn't rearrange anything. So you walk in and it's kind of like, oh, this is Nelly's, but it's like bright and nice and clean, you know. Stage is still in the same place, the bar is still the same, everything feels the same except that it's different. And then we're adding a couple of new spaces too this year that, you know, when the schedule comes out, people will see a little bit more about that. So Gainesville's really stepped up and we've been working really hard on getting those spaces ready. And we're going to do a couple of things throughout the later part of summer when we start feeling more comfortable with running shows again, to get those places ready for Fest and to kind of like work out the kinks before everybody comes for Fest time.
Right. I mean, as we're gearing, you know, into the summer and we're seeing that, you know, live music is coming back pretty much across the country and, you know, even around the world. You know, there's a lot of people who are still very, you know, concerned and very cautious about, like, you know, what that's going to look like. And, you know, I think the big question is, okay, like, what if we see like a giant spike in, you know, cases again? What are we going to do? And, you know, I imagine that the first step is going to be, well, we're going to have to rein it back again, and we're going to have to, you know, take it in steps. I mean, at this point, would you say that you're prepared to have to, you know, cancel Fest if you absolutely need to?
Yeah, I mean, we were very, very fortunate. You know, you mentioned earlier about, you know, how Fest sold out early. It wasn't so much that we sold out early. It's just the fact that like 2/3 of our attendees who already purchased passes last year, you know, last spring before, you know, COVID got worse, they just held on to their passes. So we literally only had maybe 700 plus passes to sell this year when we put them up. So that's why it went so fast. And also we wanted to cap it at 3,000 passes for sale. The most we've ever done is 3,500, and we're actually adding another large outside new space that should be about 2,000 capacity. So we'll have like a 2,000 outside, a 4,000 outside to kind of spread things out, plus all the inside venues. So we could technically, by the books and by the numbers, add more passes, but I think right now we're feeling comfortable with like, let's just ease into it. That way it spreads things out a little bit more so that the inside venues might be thinned out a little. And it's hard to say, you know, even as we speak right now, we're still several months away till October. And as we've learned last year, every day something could change. You know, as I'm watching the news today, they're saying the Delta variant's coming on stronger and stronger in the States. And it spreads faster and has more of like a punch to it. But also I really feel like we have to trust the science. And if you have the vaccine, you know, you have to like trust the fact that like, hey, I can be around unvaccinated people, or I can expose myself to COVID. And yeah, I might test positive for COVID, but what the vaccine does is not put a shield up around me for COVID. What it does is it makes COVID less effective. so I'm not going to end up in the hospital with my old ass on a ventilator, hopefully, you know. But if it comes down to it where we have to postpone Fest, I feel confident that yes, we would be able to do that. It'll be easier to do that this time because we know the protocols, we know how we have to run it and do it. I mean, we had countless Zoom meetings because most of my full-time staff that works on Fest doesn't live in Gainesville anymore. They've moved away to different places. So luckily Zoom's been a great format, like we're using it right now. And communication's been great. And the first thing we always wanted to do is it's not about us. It's not about the bands as much as about the attendees. And we want to make sure it's safe and we're doing the best thing for attendees. That's why we rolled out, you know, refunds as soon as anybody needed them. At the same time we were going with this with Fest, I was promoting and selling tickets for this thing called Metalcade, which was like pro wrestling and crazy metal bands. We had Municipal Waste and Obituary playing a big wrestling show that was going to happen in Tampa during WrestleMania weekend. And it was like fucking selling like hotcakes. We had people from all overseas buying like tiered section seating. You know, I was selling $100 tickets front row, and I was like, which to them seemed cheap. And then we didn't even try to postpone that. Like, we were one of the first wrestling promotions doing stuff that were like, no, this is not going to be cool. I don't see this happening. Let's pull the plug on it. And so we just emailed everybody and said, look, refunds are coming in the next 48 hours. And that was sad, just entering in every single refund and being like, this will just, not only am I refunding the money, but this will just never happen again. WrestleMania won't be in Tampa again, even though it was this past year, but we just won't be able to do this. But, you know, I think if we have to, you know, we're doing everything we possibly can within our jurisdiction to make things as safe as possible. If we had it our way, we would make Fest only for vaccinated people, just like they did the Foo Fighters show at Madison Square Garden this week. But we also have a governor in the state of Florida who's who's made it illegal for a business to look out for their attendees or their customers or their employees. So we're battling with that. And I've had, you know, a lot of help with the mayor, but I'm not going to go against the fucking governor on this. I'm not going to raise that much of a stink. So we're just pushing, you know, hey, get the vaccine. It's your best defense. And if you want to come to Fest and you don't have a vaccine, you're just rolling the dice, man. Don't do it. Just don't come. That's what we're saying. You know, I can't legally tell you you can't come, but I'm just telling you, as somebody who cares about our attendees, don't risk it. Just, you know, you're not invincible. Don't come. Most people come to Fest end up getting sick afterwards anyway, totally, just from being in sweaty venues with like everybody's colds from all over the US. Yep. So we've all had, you know, the Fest flu is like we like to call it. Right. So I just don't want to see anybody, you know, but it's your choice, you know, it's your freedom, man. You can.
Yeah. I mean, I know that for myself, like, you know, after a certain time, and, you know, I've thankfully been vaccinated. Like my wife has as well. And, you know, pretty much everyone that I'm affiliated with, like mostly has gotten.
Yeah.
Right. But like, you know, at a certain point, like you do have to kind of, like you said, give in and trust the science and like trust that, hey, like, you know, we're doing everything we can, like up until this point, like I've effectively done everything I can possibly do to protect myself. And yeah, I mean, if you want to continue to wear a mask, you can continue to wear a mask. And like, that's just another layer of protection. It's not a cure, you know, but it is giving you a little bit more peace of mind. And, you know, I fully agree, you know, that you definitely are taking, you know, your health into your own hands, and that's your right. And so, you know, hopefully it doesn't ruin your day, you know, if it's something
that
happened. But, you know, at this point, I think we've pretty much done everything that we can possibly do beyond, you know, going back to complete, you know, stoppage of everything. But I think at this point, it's just like, we have to inevitably get to this point where we're just going to continue to try to move forward, see if we can move at a pace that's comfortable for everyone and get everyone kind of back to a somewhat normal.
Yeah. And I think also if you're vaccinated out there, everybody's experience from last year is completely different than somebody else's. You know, people that lived in New York are different than people that live down here, you know, or California, everything, like, so my advice is, if you're listening to this or watching this and you've got your Fest ticket and you're coming to Fest, we're stoked that you're coming. And if you've been vaccinated or you've been, like, you know, playing it safe and staying home and doing everything that, you know, we've been told to do, that's wonderful. I'm glad you're healthy and you're coming, but don't have Fest be your first thing you do out, because you're going to have a goddamn panic attack being around that many people. Ease into it, you know, like, start small. Like, I have friends that are just now starting to go to grocery stores masked, you know, and I have friends on the other spectrum of things that are like, hey, we're going to shows again and we're going in venues and we're doing this, you know. And it's like you were saying, you know, we're going to advise people to do things at their comfort level. And that's why we're trying to add more outside stuff. You know, you might come to Fest and you might the first day be like, man, I just don't know if I can go in that 200 capacity little club. I feel more comfortable being outside. Great. I'm glad we have these options for you. You know, and that's why Fest has always been kind of a choose your own adventure. I mean, even before then, I've walked in venues before during Fest and been like, man, I really want to see this band, but fuck, it's smoky in here. Yeah. And just walked out and left, you know, or there's just too many people in here, I don't want to deal with it, you know. And like, I just advise people, you know, just start small, take easy. And also, you know, shows are opening up again and everybody's been so supportive with like the online streaming and bands putting up donations and ticketing for online stuff. And really, you know, especially within our little small bubble of the world, people have been super supportive and we're thankful for that. And now the turn is like, as these bands start to ease back out and go and play in front of people, it's our turn now as fans to be supportive as well and go out. I know this week or next week, Teenage Bottle Rocket's coming through Gainesville and playing at Lucy's. And I'm stoked. It's a Monday night. And you couldn't drag me out on a Monday night to go see a band. And now I'm like chomping at the bit. I can't wait. And that's going to be my first show where I'm going to go in the show. I don't care who's been vaccinated and who hasn't been vaccinated. And I'm going to go see it. And I'm going to try to do it without a mask on. But if I feel uncomfortable, I'm going to put my mask on. You know, I went and saw Chuck Reagan play at High Dive a couple weeks ago, and it was mask required inside. And that was awesome. You know, I heard some people grumbling about it, but I'm like, God damn it, man, you get to see a show. Just do it. You know, like,
right.
You know?
Yeah. It's, I totally agree. Like, if you give people the opportunity to come at their own comfort level, that's, I think, the best approach. You know,
yeah.
Let them do what they want to do. And then everyone has the autonomy to make their own decisions. You know, one of the things that I wanted, you kind of touched on it, but I you know, you mentioned bringing out this second outdoor space. You know, what are some of the things otherwise that you have maybe wanted to do with Fest that you haven't gotten around to being able to do yet?
Well, the expansion pack of Fest happened when we added Ybor, which is outside of Tampa. It's the Cuban district of Tampa. And we did a pre-Fest there. And we did that for 6 years. And as much fun as it was for attendees, and I had a blast every time, it was just hard on us as staff to like go down there, run a 2-day festival, multiple venue festival, leave at the crack of dawn on Friday, come here and drop right into like the war zone that was Fest and try to run it. So last Fest and Fest 18 2 years ago was the first year we didn't do pre-Fest, and we all looked at each other at the end and was like, God damn, that was so much nicer just to do 3 days. So I really never feel like I will expand Fest anymore. We'll continue to do things or support the locals here in Gainesville that want to do their pre-Fest on Thursdays. As far as like expanding, I really don't see us, you know, growing Fest larger. I've never really had that vision. I just kind of take it every year by year and make sure we just do it safely and that everybody's happy. And, you know, that's basically it. You know, it's just, it's a hard undertaking. And I feel comfortable at it. And I've never really had this ambition of like, let's be the biggest, the baddest. I would just rather be just like this throughout, you know, lives of it. And if it ever got to the point where it was too much, I would just take it down a notch, you know, and make it a little smaller and just happier with it. There's some bands, you know, that I've always wanted to play, you know, and we will keep poking them until it happens. But it just honestly just comes down to money for a lot of them. They're just a little out of our league for a lot of times. But as long as we keep having fun with it, there was a point where we were asked if we wanted to do a fest cruise, and we entertained that for a little while, and then realized that that's just fucking pure danger to put fest people on a boat. So that will not happen. I don't know. I really don't, like, especially with this year, just being able to do it is enough of a, like a blessing in a lot of ways. And, you know, sure. And it's going to be also a hard trial for us to do, you know, taking a year off. We got to all, because everybody that works fest doesn't do this full time. It's not like we bring in a giant production company and I'm just some guy like behind a curtain. It's just like, you know, majority of the people that run the shows and the venues aren't doing production year round. You know, they're helping me because they're old friends from the scene. You know, I've got people that are in, you know, working in hospitals as nurses. I got people that are running restaurants. I got people that are like engineers, you know, professors at University of Florida. You know, people are just coming together to make this happen once a year. And so it's more of like a friends and family thing. As long as we can keep doing that, you know, we always used to call it the punk rock family reunion. And I feel like this year more than ever is really a testament to that, that we're going to be able to come together. And it's going to be, I just feel like people are just going to get, you know, normally at fest, people are already hugging and high fiving and haven't seen each other in a year. And then now we get 2 years on it. I think the first day you're going to see a lot of people just get emotional about shit.
No doubt. I would not be surprised either. Yeah. I mean, you already kind of touched on it. I was going to ask you, who are some bands that you've been trying to get, but you just haven't been able to yet. I mean, if you don't want to mention names, like, that's fine, but.
Oh no. I mean, it's fine. Their booking agents will, they already know. So it's not like I'm poking anybody and they're going to be like, I don't know. Like, we've had like the Swami John Reese here many times with his other projects. Or Rocket from the Crypt's like one of my favorite bands. I would love to get Rocket. It's just we can't afford Rocket, and I understand why. It's just because they don't want to come all the way over here just to do Rocket from the Crypt, and they'll never tour around here. So I mean, that's one of them. I was really bummed that we didn't get a Veil when they were doing their reunion shows, but that just came down to the fact that, you know, we talked deeply with them and we just couldn't afford what they were doing at the time. So I just said, hey, I'm going to Richmond, and I got to see a Veil play in Richmond. Like, so it was a lot cheaper and more fun for me. Right. And you know, there's a lot of other bands. Like, I would personally love to have Jimmy World play. But it's another thing like that. They're just kind of like, they hit that other tier where they're, you know, when we went and saw Jimmy World last time, it was them and I think Taken Back Sunday. And they played the amphitheater in St. Augustine. And I just looked around and I was like, this is just radio people here, but they're singing every song that I love too. So it's like, they're part of this family, but we've never gotten that kind of like radio crossover bands for fest. And I don't really need us to, like, our more thing is like, we have like all the like small punks from all over come together. So that one band that's touring the States and might be playing to 30 people a night, all those little 30s come together. So now you got like 1,000 people that want to see that band play, which makes fest special. You know, it's like going to like a somewhat of like a nerd convention, you know, like a Comic-Con or whatnot. And you're surrounded by people that are like-minded like yourself, that are into the same things you are. Like, constantly at fest, we see people that are standing in line to go see other bands, and all they're doing is pushing their glasses up and being like, well, I don't know, this album was more better, blah, blah, blah. And they're just like having like weird like band nerd debates about stuff. And that's awesome. Maybe that's why, like, at fest we've never had a fight, you know, really. It's not a tough guy festival. It's not as punk as you would think, you know. Right. It's really, we're just all kind of geeks. So, I mean, there's a lot of cool bands like that. I mean, I've asked, They Might Be Giants several times, and it just never lines up. They like do stuff for a year, take a year off, do stuff for a year, take a year off. And so that's never lined up. I'm trying to think of who else has just always been kind of like this close that we can't just get. I mean, Sparta was one of them. I really thought we were going to get Sparta this year.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, that's an awesome list. I mean, dude, They Might Be Giants would have been epic. I mean, are you kidding?
Yeah, I mean, we hit They Might Be Giants a long time ago, and the dream was to have They Might Be Giants and Bomb the Music Industry together. I mean, that's how old it's been since we've been poking They Might Be Giants to do this.
I saw, so. I don't know if you caught, well, I think you did, or I'm not sure who runs your Twitter account, but what was it, Eve 6 posted something about like we could do like some performance art piece where like we come and play like in front of a bunch of like a like jilted punk rockers, and then they'll all throw trash at us while we sing our hits like 20
okay
times
so
in a row.
I don't run the social media, and I personally don't have my own. My friend Randy, who plays in the Kembe, who's worked Fest forever, he's doing our social media stuff for a while. And so I got a new phone recently, and I just haven't like uploaded accounts to it just to kind of like troll it or see what's going on. And so I don't know anything. You're the first person to tell me what the hell's going on with this. So I'm at the gym on Sunday, and I just get a text from Randy. He says, Eve 6 wants to play Fest. They're going to email you. And I'm just like, okay, sure. Like, what's going on? So I'm like on the like little elliptical machine. I can't really do much. So I'm just kind of like with my thumb being like, okay, cool.
Yeah.
And then like, I guess he put it in like a group thread, and the rest of the staff people are in like a Slack together, which I'm not in. And I just start getting texts from like other staff being like, really, is Eve 6 going to play? And I'm like, hold up, whatever. So I don't know. I don't know when this is coming out, maybe, but I'll entertain it. I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I just don't see why Eve 6 would want to come to Fest. And for like this late in the game where we're already sold out and we don't have any money left,
right,
it's kind of like, it might have to be like a weird, like experimental thing with Eve 6. Like it's like, I don't know, like maybe it'll be a surprise mystery thing or something, but I'd say, fuck yeah, come on Eve 6, like play everywhere in Florida, play every single town in Florida twice,
right?
But then come to Fest and have more fun. Yeah. All right, so that's what I say. And then next, and then if you kill it, then next year we can talk about some real stuff, you know.
There you go. Yeah. No, I mean they have like come out as like being one of like the prime Twitter like accounts in the past like 12 months. It's crazy.
Oh, like, so he might just be like looking for stuff and fucking around, who knows.
Well, but I mean, hey, I mean, there, I think that there's plenty of people out there that actually genuinely do like Eve 6. And I mean, you know,
I agree.
I don't dislike that band at all. Like, no, I don't love them, no. But, you know.
No, me neither. I think it'd be super fun. There's a lot of like, now that we're getting a little older, I mean, you're probably around the same age as me. I'm 45.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that like time period of the 90s where everybody got signed to majors, mm-hmm. right? So some of us that were into punk and grew up on the punk, there was like the bands that signed. And then some people were like, especially where you live, there was people that were like, oh, fuck you, you sell out, blah, 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 blah. We never were like that because I kind of grew up on like, you know, MTV and music and stuff like that, more of the alternative. But when punk started going over, there was a lot of like radio rock bands that we considered at the time period of like, oh, this isn't punk, this is just radio stuff. And I would say Eve 6 fell into that market. But now that I'm older, like the Toadies, for example, now that I'm older and I'm sitting here, you know, during the last year, sitting outside, listening to music and like had nothing to do but listen to music all year again, like Spotify has been like my savior last year. I revisit a lot of these bands that I thought, you know, you say Spotify, put on a 90s music mix and you listen to it, like, man, this is really catchy. You know, I remember like when Ergs covered Hey Jealousy, I was like, fuck, this song is great. Mm-hmm. You know, even though at the time when you told like 16 or 17 year old me who like was skateboarding and just listening to stuff on Ebullition Records and like crazy like screamo stuff, and I'm like, fuck that shit, you know, fuck the Jim Blossoms. Now I'm kind of like, that's kind of good, you know, maybe I should go get a Jim Blossoms record for $1 at the used record store CD and put it in my truck, you know. So Eve 6, I'd say, yeah, maybe that'll open the gate and Fest 20 will just be like radiant 90s radio rock bands.
I love it. I love that idea.
There's a lot of people that would probably really love it.
If you get the Toadies, I think that would be a great crossover band together.
Hey, I mean, if they still live in New Orleans, it's not too far from them, you know.
Quick, you know, I don't know if you have any to pick from, but are there any specific Fest memories that are kind of like in your brain as like the like number one and two highlights that you could maybe shine on, you know, at yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's highlights. There's more for me like crazy wacky stories of like, holy shit, this is weird that happened. I'd say like highlight Fest One when Against Me played. They were still a smaller punk band in the scene here in Gainesville that we all love, but we were used to seeing them play like, you know, Wayward Council packed in there with like 150 sweaty people. So to move it over to Market Street, which wasn't even that big of a venue at the time, but that was like our big space, to see like 500 people, everyone singing Against Me, and that somewhere on YouTube that still exists. That was kind of like a holy shit. Like, you just feel like Big Brother, like, even though I'm not like Big Brother then, but you feel like that older, like, oh, I'm so proud of them. I'm so proud of us, you know, like kind of thing. That and a lot that happens. Like, I always get that goosebump feeling, you know, literally like up my arm, I'll get goosebumps when you see like bands that either you have liked and other people, now you see like all these other people like them, or like they're friends of yours and they're getting like just wild response during Fest. That's always good for me, you know, that or like just seeing like just the during Fest, just the community that brings in from everybody, just seeing people sincerely just happy and joyful to see each other and hanging out and just letting go and having a good time. You know, like, I love music, and I wouldn't be the person I am today unless I would have found punk rock. And punk rock's taught me a lot of things about how to treat my fellow human, how to do like business the right way with ethics instead of dollar signs, have some compassion and humility in a lot of ways too. But I'm glad that we were able through Fest as a highlight to be able to like help catalyst that in a lot of ways, and we've also, you know, by doing this festival, hopefully inspired some people to take a little bit home with them and do something positive in their community, be it, you know, putting on a show or helping somebody or starting up, you know, co-ops, or, you know, just volunteering at a place. God, volunteer work is just so much more needed, and hopefully this year as we open up, more of us, as we've been locked down, I hate that word lockdown, I feel like it's just so forceful, as we've been safe, you know, looking out for ourselves and everybody else, that we, you know, take a little bit of that extra time that we have when we come out, besides just making it the roaring 20s and going wild, but maybe even putting a little bit more in and helping each other out a little bit more. You know, there's a lot of people that have been affected really hard over the last year. So, you know, with that, those are kind of the highlights, but there's a lot of wild, weird stories I could go on and on and on about, like, Ain't It Black, like deciding they were just going to have a weird show in the back of a truck without talking to me. Or no, Dan consulted me backstage during, like, I think Dillinger 4. And I told him, no, don't do that. That's a bad idea. And he was kind of just walked off, you know, like there's a lot of Patty Dillinger 4 stories that involve like a Congo line through a Taco Bell, him passing out underneath of a truck, getting eaten by fire ants and missing the Bloodbath and Beyond show. Him just peeing his pants on stage, blacked out, like weird shit like that. Jason Black from Hot Water Music on side stage with me during Seaweed playing, which is one of both of our favorite bands. You know, if you never checked out Seaweed, check it out.
Love him.
Jason Black looks at me at one point and hands me like his keys, his wallet, and his glasses and his hat. And I'm like, what are you doing? Oh shit, no, Jason. And he just takes off running across the stage and just the biggest, like, old school toe touch stage dive into nothing. Just on the ground. And then I see his ass hobbling back up on the side of the stage. And I hear, here's your stuff back. And he's just, what? So I challenged him the other day. I saw him. He just moved back to Gainesville. And I was like, you know, Gorilla Biscuits is playing this year. We're going to see the Jason. And he goes, no, we're not doing that again this year. But that was another thing, like Gorilla Biscuits this year. That was a highlight, like to be able to like do that. And also to be able to communicate directly with the band. There's no agent. There's no manager. There's nothing. It's just me talking to the band directly about what they need, what they want, and how we're going to handle it. And it's been ideal. It's been awesome. Walter's been nothing but a sweetheart. And I hope this builds a further relationship to where, you know, Walter's here every year with another project. It's as close as us getting the quicksand. You know?
I was going to say, if you can get quicksand.
Rival schools, like, you know.
Dude, rival schools reunion would be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I think, you know, you've been here to Fest too. It's like, we really treat bands we don't baby bands. We just treat them like they're, everybody's on the same level. And I think bands respect that. And when you play, you also look around on your stage and it's just a bunch of punks that really care, taking care of your stage instead of the curmudgeon who used to tour for Molly Hatchet. And he's like mixing your sound, you know, and he's like, come on, hurry up, you know.
Right.
I don't, union gives me 5 smoke breaks every 10 minutes. You know, right. It's like that, you know, it's like a different scene, you know, everybody's happy that you're here. So it works, you know, like when we had Jawbreaker, they were like, so like thankful and happy. And we're like, no, thank you. And it's just cool about that. You know, like if we could afford it, we'd have them back every year.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I my experience at Fest was nothing short of just awesome. You know, I mean, I felt like it was this very community-based, you know, kind of vibe where, you know, the majority of the bands are just literally hanging out. There's no egos. There's no crazy, like, weird backstage, like, you know.
No,
like,
there separation. Is no backstage. So we can't.
Well, right. Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, you know, everyone just kind of feels like they're there to not only, as a musician, like, to perform, but to be a fan. And, like, I mean, shoot. I mean, the years that we played, there were easily like 20, 25 bands. And I was like, dude, I want to see this band. Like, I can't wait to see this band. So, and like, oh, we got to play. Oh shit. We got to play. You know, it's like, it's almost like an afterthought.
And vice versa. When you played, there was probably 20, 25 band members from different bands watching you play that weren't on the show with you that came to see Tsunami Bomb. So.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it was such a, like, especially for us, because, you know, we don't have the ability to go and tour all the time, you know, cause we just don't. So coming out to be able to play in Florida at Fest was especially awesome because we're like, okay, well, we can only go to Florida probably once a year at most. So we got to make it count. And like to be able to play the festival in Florida and that, you know, general area was like, okay, well, stoked, you know, what more could we ask for? So thank you again. Oh,
thank you. We just got it next year for Fest 20, get you back over.
I'll mention that to the band. I'm sure that they'll be stoked, but
please
on that note, you know, and I don't want you to like necessarily like, you know, throw out like trade secrets or anything like that. But for bands that are interested in playing Fest, like what would be the right avenue for them to take? Because I know it's like you don't want to be inundated with like a ton of emails necessarily.
Oh, I still do.
Some bands have a luxury of having like a booking agent and some don't. But for the bands that maybe, you know, don't have someone kind of speaking on their behalf, is there like something that you might give them as like a form of advice, you know, to try to
get attention or something? Sure, sure. I mean, in the early years, we did like actual physical applications and we had bands mail in stuff and we would just get like when I was working at No Idea and before that we would just get piles of packages and it was really cool but also very tedious because it wasn't as much of a internet, there wasn't Bandcamp. I mean, hell, I think MySpace might have been around that some of the early years, but for now, like, you know, I don't actively on our website it says don't email me, but I still get constantly. I mean, today I got a few emails about like, hey, hate to do this, but the best thing that ever happens like with bands is like if you're a smaller band and you don't need an agent, you don't need a manager. That's one of the misconceptions that a lot of bands have to do anything. You know, you can do a lot DIY on your own to build your own worth and merit. But the best thing you can do is that happens for me is other bands who perform Fest, like yourself. Like you might be like, hey, we're playing this year, but I've got these buddies and they're a really cool band. They're small. They're from the Bay Area. And if you have a chance, just check them out. They're really interested in coming out to Fest. Here's their contact info. And that's 9 out of 10 times. That's how I find out about new bands. It's rarely me finding out about a new band and reaching out. That happens sometimes, but it's really rare. But also it happens too sometimes where bands just email me and they're very polite and patient about it. The worst for me is a band who talks up in an email that they're like the manager, but it's really just somebody from the band. And they're like, we really could bring a lot to your music festival. You know, we're good for like a good 100 people in your market and stuff. You know, it's like, fuck, dude, save all that industry shit for somebody else because I don't want to hear it, you know.
Right.
And or also like, you know, a booking agent will hit me up and say, hey, I've got these new bands, check them out. And I look at the bands and I'm like, yeah. And usually I've got a decent relationship with the booking agents that we deal with over the years to where I trust them. And if it comes down to is, do I like the band or not, You know, I don't ever look at a band and be like, well, I think this band's going to bring more people to the festival. I like go, do I like them? And then we dig deeper a little bit into their background. Like, you know, I kind of look at like what they're posting on social media. I'll ask other bands that are from the same city, like, hey, who we trust at Playfest, like, what are these people like? You know, are they good people? Are they helping out the scene? Are they just a bunch of douches, you know? And sometimes, most time, it's like, oh, yeah, yeah, they're awesome. But sometimes they're like, ooh, you know. And a lot of times you can just tell by somebody's social media presence. It's silly as it sounds, but it's just so much easier now because you can kind of like peer into like how they really are as people, especially this last year. I mean, Jesus, if anybody was going to be a tool bag on the internet, this was the year they were going to do it the most. But a lot of times, you know, it's just that, like somebody will recommend. Now, next year being Fest 20, we're probably going to invite a lot of buds and a lot of alumni back. I have already started poking some bands about like, you know, kicking them, get off the sofa, get out of the graveyard. Come on, it's time to get the band back together a little bit. You know, this might be the one time you could do it. How old are your kids now? Come on, you know, and hopefully that'll happen. But ultimately, it's kind of a selfish thing. I just kind of pick what I like. And I've kind of curated a decent thing, I think, every year enough to where at least there's a couple thousand people that are into the same shit I'm into. You know, granted, there's some bands that some people are like, well, why hasn't Tony ever booked this? Or why hasn't Tony ever booked this? And it's like, probably just because I don't like it. You know, there was a long time where pop punk, like in the early days of Fest, was overplayed. And I was kind of like on pop punk. And then the ergs came out and copyrights came out. And I was like, oh yeah, this is good again. There was a long time, especially because of Florida, where fucking ska punk just got oversaturated and just punished my ears. And then, you know, over the last several years, like there's been a lot more awesome ska stuff coming out. It doesn't seem so cookie cutter, right? You know, and the bands that did survive are awesome. You know, we've never really been that hardcore fest. There's a lot of other festivals that are good at doing that. I think it's just for me growing up in Virginia and like loving certain types of hardcore, but also seeing a bunch of tough guys represent a lot of other hardcore. So just turned me off. Moving to Florida didn't help that either. There's a lot of really bad tough guy South Florida hardcore shit that would come through here. Right. So we've never been that. We've also like never been that big of like, I guess metal is as broad spectrum of as it is. Like we kind of like, I'm more into like the weird stoner metal or like the like real thrash, like Municipal Waste type metal. You know, it's just,
I mean, you get bands like Torch or like Planes Forsaken, yeah, Stars, and like it kind of fits that mold a little bit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, Fest 2, we had Mastodon play.
Yeah. Awesome.
And that, if I could have Mastodon back, I would. Maybe we will next year. You know, Baroness played Fest several times, you know, and that's something they've just gone on to be a bigger band. You know, and they don't play Fest anymore, but maybe someday we'll have them back. You know, it's just in that world. Like I'm, like I said before, like I don't think we'll ever be this festival that's like, we're going to have Descendants or Against Me or Less Than Jake or Hot Water and then Run the Jewels. Nothing against Run the Jewels. I'm just using that as a sample because I feel like that's always up on every festival. You know, it's just that, like, I don't think that's what we're ever going to be doing, you know? And that's why I'll go to other music festivals, because if I want to go see that stuff, I can, like, other ways, you know.
Yeah, I think
I'll never get Foo Fighters, but if the Foo Fighters ever want to come, they're welcome to headline every night at Fest. Right. So, yeah.
I mean, I think there's a lot to be said about like knowing like what you're good at and knowing your audience enough to where, like, you know, like you said, you're going to curate it the way that you're going to curate it based on not only what you like, but what you know your audience is going to be into. And yeah, you know, it works, and there you go. You know, if it ain't,
yeah, it's like, if I had a restaurant and I've been for 20 years crushing it, making like great burgers and veggie burgers and serving beers, I'm not just all of a sudden going to add sushi to the menu,
right?
You know, it's hip, but come on, you know,
right. Well, Tony, that's all awesome. I really appreciate you kind of giving me all this great information about, you know, Fest, where it's been, where it's going, yeah, a little bit of background about yourself. I wanted to pivot to the last couple of questions that I like to throw out to every guest. So the first one is, who are some artists that you really feel need to be on people's radar right now?
Okay. I'm glad you told me this in advance, because sometimes people spring this on me and it's really hard for me, because the short and easy question I answer to that is, well, I just booked a whole music festival and there's this website called thefestfl.com where you could check out every band that's playing. That's kind of my curated, like, hey, check out this fest. We also have, if you're listening or watching through the fest, we also have a fest radio. You can go to that website while you work, put your earbuds on, and while you're putting in spreadsheets or whatever, pop that on and you'll find out a lot about some new bands too. And I think at some point we'll have like a Spotify playlist if it's not already there. Randy really handles that side of things, so that's good. But I did make a list.
Thank you.
And what came off the top of my head, the ones I'm really excited about this year, because like I said, it's and if you're listening and you're not one of these bands listed, don't be offended. I do like your band too, but I had to make these are the ones that, like, for me have really sparked that I'm gonna try to make it to go see this year. As far as smaller bands go, first on my list is Bitter Branches. I was a huge fan of Dead Guy, which was a hardcore band in the 90s. And the singer of Dead Guy is a new band called Bitter Branches. So that's it. Check it out if you're into like crazy, weird, hardcore stuff. Catbite, I fell in love with them over the last year. They've done a lot of fest at homes, and they just keep like crushing it with the songs they're doing. They put out just for charity. They redid their entire album and made it country western, which was weird. And then this past week, they put it all back out again and redid their album hardcore style instead of ska. So check out Catbite if you and there. I can't wait for them. Get Married is another band, and Sarcasm, both of them. I think Sarcasm is from around your area, right?
They are.
And Get Married's from LA area or outside of LA, one of those California sand something areas. And both those bands I fell in love with even more through like Fest at Home and how they switched things up and did more stripped down acoustic versions to help us out during like the last year. No Man is another like hardcore band with a female singer. They're from Baltimore area. I think it has people from Page 99. So if you're familiar with that stuff, I'm really excited about them. And speaking of kind of in that heavier vein, there's a band, I think they're from like the West Coast area as well. And I think it's called Military Gun. Or Military Gun, but it's I think the guitar player, oh shit, I'm gonna fuck up, so I don't even gonna show. Check them out, they're new, like real new. I think they haven't even like, I think Fest might be their first like show or big show or something. It's like members of this. Super Bloom is from New York. If you are into like 90s like Nirvana, that time period of stuff, Super Bloom is definitely ripping all of that off well. I played it for a friend recently. We all met up and had some drinks outside, and I was like, "Steph, you're gonna like this band. What is this?" And she goes, "Ah, this is Nirvana. This is Nirvana. I love this." It's like it could be like a B-side album, but then there's some stuff that's kind of in that round. Oceanator put out a beautiful new album this year. I can't remember who put it out, but she self-released it, and then somebody picked it up. That was like, I think Polyvinyl picked it up, maybe. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. And then Chesky popped up late to the game to us, and a lot of people know who he is. He does like Planet X style, like really thoughtful lyrics about like hard topics, acoustic, but then also does amazing like hip hop. And so he can flip the switch in his live performance. He did a Fest at Home. If you go back and watch any of the Fest at Homes, we have them on the Fest Facebook page as well as on Twitch under Fest at Home. Check that out. It's just mind-blowing what one person can do in their room and present to everybody. And then my like kind of other call to everybody is like, if you haven't checked out Moving Targets, they're an older punk band. I think they were on Tang out of Baltimore area, but that's one that like, do yourself a favor, you're coming to Fest and you're like, holy shit, or even before, check out Moving Targets. It's a treat that they're going to be coming to Fest and just kind of popped up and like, hey, we want to play. And I'm like, what? Like, yes, please come. I will never thought I would ever see you in my life play. And so those are like my new ones. And then Florida is just so rich with like good bands. I'm gonna miss a lot of them, but my favorites in Florida's New band from Gainesville, Evening Standards, Zeta, kills it live show. It's like fucking unbelievably good. And their new music videos are out and stuff. Palomino Blonde from South Florida kind of has this like Smashing Pumpkins type vibe to them. That's probably a bad description, but that's kind of like the realm. Night Witch is awesome. Tallahassee, female fronted hardcore. Virginity is just like from Orlando area. It's good Weezer rip stuff. Pez is from Gainesville, and Pez is undescribable. Like everything they do is just taking it and stripping it down to a next level. It's very visual when they play, like video screens and crazy shit going on. It's like hardcore and industrial and electro pop and all this shit. Just they're the most creative thing coming out, and that's hard to say when you got Zeta in there too. Secret World is a new band out of Tampa area. It's got ex members of all these other bands that you'll know coming to Fest. I don't even know if they've released stuff yet. I just know that they fed me stuff, and I'm really excited to see them soon. Hopefully they're gonna come to Gainesville and play soon. Expert Timing has been just killing it. Pool Kids, super creative, like too good at their instruments for a band. And Dikembe, you know, they're like the our Florida buds, and they've just been crushing. Granted, only one member lives, or two members live in Florida still. Yeah, Fest will be their next show back. A lot of bands are doing like their first shows back at Fest too. So everybody's gonna be super amped and excited. But those are kind of my things. And then, you know, this last year sitting in the pool, you know, hanging out and just trying to like keep my head sane. There was a lot of Fest bands that released new stuff or had released stuff that I fell in love with and revisited, like Broadway Calls' new album was crushing it. Dead Bar's albums has been a classic. There's a band called Secret Spirit that a lot of people don't know, and I think the Fest might be their last show. So it's kind of a bad thing because I feel like that band, it's kind of like Kid Dynamite. They're really good. Band-Aid Brigade is just like fucking yacht rock. It's like awesome. It's like, how do you write these jams? It's so good. It's got one of the dudes from Pears in it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't sound like Pears at all. And then like Max Stern helped a lot with me this summer, released a couple albums, not was playing every day on like the internet. Crazy in the Brains, same way with them. They did a couple of Fest at Homes, and like I feel like them stripped down. If you like really early, they might be giants and like New York, like punk. They're just like really, really creative and crushing it with that. Another one is Answering Machine, like really this summer. I feel like I got back into that band and just probably punished my wife by playing it too many times, you know?
Yeah.
So those are kind of like, that's my list. Sorry, it's a little longer than you probably expected, you know, but.
Honestly, yeah. I'm impressed. Yeah. I mean, most people use like, like the lowest I think I've had was 2. And I think the most I've ever had was like maybe 8. So
it's just hard. I mean, I'm probably forgetting a lot of stuff too. Like the new Lawrence Arms album this year was like really, really good too. Like it's just, I was so happy with so many bands, like, you know, bands were sad that they had to release albums, you know, when they couldn't tour on them. But I think in the end, it's going to help all these bands out because people like myself have spent a year listening to them. So therefore, when I get to go see them play live, I'm going to know all the words. I'm going to be singing along. I'm going to be hoarse as shit the next day. Yeah, we need like some kind of like throat lozenge sponsor for Fest this year, because I feel like everybody's just going to be singing along a lot more. Like we need, I don't know, yeah, what just maybe, maybe those little opera things or something.
The what?
I don't know. And there's like these little things at health food stores. They're like these little white, like chalky things. They're supposed to be for opera singers. They've been around since like the turn of the century. I don't know what their name of it is, but somebody out there knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Right.
Or you could just be like Garrett from Plains Music and For Stars, and you just mix a little OJ and a little whiskey together.
There you go.
And just gargle that. I think that's what he used to do.
Right. So.
Yeah,
no, that's an awesome list. I really appreciate it, and I'll add as many links as I possibly can in there.
Oh, thanks.
No, I mean honestly, I think that's a really great list, and there's so many bands on there that I'm right on board with you. Like Catbite is hands down like my favorite ska band currently. You know.
Yeah, and that's hard to say too because there's a lot of good new ska bands that come out this year. Bands. I mean, the new Way of the Union record I think is the finest thing they've done, hands down.
Yeah. And I know you have Bad Operation playing, like that album was easily one of my top 10 albums of last year.
Yeah, that's a new late edition that popped up too. I didn't even think about that. That's been kicking it. outside for me a lot too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great, great band, great record. I'm looking forward to seeing them live whenever I get a chance to. But yeah, no, that's a great list. I thank you very much for that. And then, yeah, my last question is, if you had to narrow down your collection, only five records, you know, to listen to for the rest of your life, I know that this is an impossible question to answer, but what would they be?
This is a hard one because I feel like any of those five records, if I had to listen to it for the rest of my life, there's no record I could listen to for the rest of my life. I would just get burned out on. But I did think about it a lot. And so what I did is I went through my Spotify and put up, as far as like old influential records, like which ones over the last year I played the most and I feel like helped me the most become the person or the path that I went on. So it's more like these records influenced me growing up, and I've revisited a lot this year. So I did make a list. It's more than five though, but it's not that much more than five. There was a lot of, I grew up in Virginia, so there was a lot of DC influence, and out of Fugazi, Minor Threat, Bad Brain, all that stuff, Dag Nasty, all that shit. Fugazi's In on the Kill Taker, I think for me sums up the best creativity in music. And that was hard because Hoover's album is like kind of up in there with it as well, for those of you that are in the Discord stuff. But if you guys are on the Kill Taker, I can put on if I'm in a bad mood, if I'm in a good mood, it just motivates me and makes me want to just bounce off the wall, be positive and do stuff. Less Than Jake's Hella Rock View. I wouldn't be here without Less Than Jake because I wouldn't have moved to Gainesville. I wouldn't be doing Fest. And I think that's, for me, that's my record. That's the one that means the most to me. I love Vinny's lyrics in that album, and all the wacky fucking song titles and shit. Out of all the Hot Water, same way. I wouldn't be here without Hot Water, of them like influencing me and coming down. But out of all the Hot Water, Fuel for the Hate Game. And that's hard for me because there's so many good Hot Water albums. But Fuel for me is like, that was the one like that just nailed it for me. And I kept like showing people and playing for people up in Virginia. Avail's Dixie. Like that's another one I could just always put on. Rocket from the Crypt's Hot Charity. It was, I want to say Scream Dracula Scream, but Hot Charity for me, I think is just it's a harder one to find, but not now with Spotify and everything. But I just love how they kind of just went a little different with that. Jimmy Eat World's Static Prevails. Because that was like the one, everybody says Clarity, but Static Prevails was the one for me. It was like, also for me at the time period, I felt like I was the same age as them. And that record came out, and I went out instantly after that on tour and was like hunting. When we used to tour, and you probably remember too, like everybody would bring like little distros with them. You trade records with different bands on the road. Like, you know, Tsunami Bomb might play with some band and be like, oh, we'll give you five copies of our record and take five of yours. Sure. And so when I would tour, I was constantly flipping through other bands' records and grabbing 7 inches and 7 inches for Jimmy Eat World. So that kind of started my Jimmy Eat World thing. Talking Heads, Remain in Light. That record was like the first punk record that my brother kind of played for me. And I can, at the time it was like a pop album, but I consider it really punk. And I really got back into Talking Heads this summer. Like, and I've played it a little too much, you know? And then this is a weird one. Before all of punk and everything, one of my favorite records, and I bought it on cassette, was the Eddie and the Cruiser soundtrack. And even though it's not a real band or anything, those songs are still good. And I'll be listening to classic rock radio in my truck, and one of those songs will come on, and I'll just be like, yeah, you know? It was that. It was either that or Huey Lewis in the News for, like, okay, getting me, you know, the sports album. But I feel like Eddie and the Cruisers is still a little bit more of a curveball. Not Eddie and Cruisers 2, but just the,
well, yeah.
Just, yeah, just the first one. Gotta, I'm not talking about the,
yeah,
not the black, the dark album or the whatever. Now we're going to start a whole podcast about Eddie and the Cruisers. That would be me and Jake from Get Married talking about bad movies and stuff.
Nice.
So,
well, I mean, dude, I think that's such an awesome list. And, you know, you kind of hit the Fugazi mark for me, because In on the Kill Takers, like, I mean, it's hard to pick a Fugazi record.
It's impossible.
Because they're easily my favorite band, you know.
Yeah.
Like, it's like them and Smashing Pumpkins are like the two bands for me. And
yeah,
between their entire catalogs, it's like, how do I fucking pick one? And I kind of always come back to In on the Kill Taker with Fugazi.
Yeah, because at that time, I feel like that record came out and it was like, what? Like, you know, Red Medicine was after that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and then that was still like, but to go from, just to go into In on Kill Tiger was just, I don't know. It's just one of those things. I was lucky enough to see Fugazi several times growing up. We even at one point like followed them, like they were like the goddamn Grateful Dead down through like the Carolinas and stuff. We got to see him play Free on the Monument, like, you know, several times in the park, Washington Square Park and stuff. And like, we even got to do a show for them in Roanoke at a big giant, like, it was like a cowboy LGBT. It's like basically a gay cowboy bar. And that's where we did their show at, because that was the only place big enough in town. And also we thought would like be cool with like, you know, letting us make our own rules and making a safe space. But it was like, just, you know, that's like the ultimate dream, is to have Fugazi play Fest, but that'll never happen. And then no band can really pull off like covering Fugazi either. I mean, you can play Fugazi song during your set, but you know, you can't pull that off.
Yeah, I actually, so, you know, the small record label that I run, I released a Fugazi tribute record a few years ago.
And I didn't know that.
Yeah, here, I'll send you a link to it. So you can
please. It out, yeah. But,
I stalled on doing it for a long time because I was like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know if this is going to like turn out bad or not. I thought it turned out awesome. But you're so right. It's a very intimidating thing to like take on a band that holds such like high regard, you know, for so many people, you know. And I mean, they are just a band, but I don't know, man, like they're epic. It's like taking on like the Clash. Like, how do you outdo the Clash? You know, they're already great.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of bands like that. And I feel like what made Fugazi way a little different than the other bands is they always not better themselves, but changed, you know, they evolved. They would put out something and then everybody else would follow in suit.
Right.
They were like the leaders of the pack in a lot of ways, but they always kept grounded ethics. They never tried to shoot the moon. They still, like, you know, when we did the show with them, and probably still if they ever did a show again, I don't think it would still be the same. It'd be like, okay, here's the list of expenses. We want 80% of the door. You get your 20% for working hard. That 80-20 door deal, still this day, I think is like the most fair deal you can present to a band. And I wish more bands would take that, because in the end, they probably, if you have faith in your band, you have faith that people are going to come see your band, that is the best deal in the end, instead of just taking that flat guarantee or like screwing over somebody who's trying to do your show and overshooting that guarantee. And then you're like, well, pay me. Fuck you. I don't care if people can't, you know, that's your job. It's like, fuck right. You. I mean, come on. Like, you know, it's, you know, when the agent goes, well, I mean, they're good for 500 people in your town. Like, well, let's do this door deal and find out.
Right, exactly,
500 yeah. people come, you get all that money. And if they don't, then I don't end up like paying out of pocket to help you out, you know? So, you know, I just feel like, I'm glad you share that with me. It's a love affair of mine, but up there with it too. I mean, Avail was just as much of an influence growing up in Virginia, because Tim would set us down, you know, as peers, as a young punk band, and be like, here is how you run your band. And more importantly, when you stay at people's houses, this is how you should act. This is the things you should do for them. You know, do this, don't do this, do this, don't do this. And it was all about like being a good house guest, honestly. Right. And it's so easy to think, but then have bands stay at your house for 20 some years and some of them were never learned that way, you know.
It's true. Yeah, yeah. There's like that I think that weird thing that people get in their heads when they're young and they think, oh, like I'm gonna be on the road, I'm gonna be like a rock star, when it's like, no, don't do that. Like that's not the right thing to do. Like, you're a guest in somebody's home. Like, respectful. Yeah,
we would always, like, you know, wash your dishes before you leave, write them a nice note if you have to get up before them, leave them a care package of like, here's our record and a shirt, you know, and some stuff. Like, and then, you know what, when you come back through, they're gonna leave and tell all their friends, you know, or their family was like, hey, those guys were really, really nice. And they're just going to want to help you more when you come back, you know.
Absolutely.
It's just, you know, there's a lot with rock and roll and punk rock. There's a lot of rock and roll in punk rock sometimes. And it was there in the early stages of punk. And then it died out and DIY came up and then it came back. And it's just now it's just like a, I feel like DIY is coming back more, even more so over the last year. I think a lot of bands realized without touring how they could still, like through like doing online stuff, how they could still run their band and really engage with their audience and find new audience in a lot of ways. And I think there's going to be a lot of people that come out of this being like, hey, you know what? Maybe we just do this ourselves, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I really am grateful for you making the time, and I'm equally grateful for you, you know, continuing to do all the work you're doing with Fest. I know that every band that has played there and is going to play there really appreciates it. You know, everyone who hasn't heard of Fest, please go check it out. I'll drop the links for as many of the bands that he mentioned. And if you are going to Fest, you know, make sure to do your due diligence and don't be a dick.
Yeah, and just get your vaccine.
Yeah,
that should be priority one before going to a music festival and traveling. Right. Take care of your body first.
100% agree.
Yeah.
Take care, Tony. Talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you so much, man. And thanks for having me on the show. Best of luck to you.
Take care.